T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Feels like Dak Prescott has all the leverage in that organization, and he, as he goes, as his contracts go, so will the team.
Well, unless they just want to walk on from him.
Bingo.
Yeah, like this tells me they just don't want Dak Prescott to be their quarterback.
I'm with James. Like, I think it's almost a George Steinbrenner, like, this is your last chance to prove it moment. And here's the thing I'll equate it to. Tony Romo's career. Like, both of them, they're pretty comparable. They're both well above average players. Neither was a top three or four, five quarterback in football. I think Dak got really close to being a top five guy. Maybe he was for a moment, but it didn't last long. And I wonder if aging Jerry Jones is like, look, I don't want to do the Tony Romo thing again for 10 or 12 years, where I know I got a good quarterback, but wins me anything of value.
Everyone in that organization right now feels like they're teetering on the edge of not coming back. You know, including the quarterback.
And the coach.
Mike McCarthy is not under contract after 2024. Yeah. Micah Parsons, they're still talking about getting his deal done. You know, the fifth-year thing is an ongoing saga. CeeDee Lamb is angry at everyone, doesn't even want to show up for their offseason situation. So they have – it really does feel like this is the year that they're hoping everything comes together somehow magically, because they're not going out and buying pieces because they don't have the money.
That's right.
Because of the contract situation they backed themselves into.
It's pretty wild. I mean, as we approach
it's
this
great
draft.
For
it's
for us.
I think so, too. Yes. I think so, too. I really do. I mean, would they be in the market for a quarterback in this draft? I don't know. Would they be in the market would they want to go try to get Tom Brady? I wouldn't think so, but I don't know. I mean, I'll just put it this way. The whole thing's weird. The whole thing is weird. All right, let's go to the phones.
And he keeps saying they're all in. Their owner keeps trying
to say
they're
all in. He says a lot of things.
He does. He says
a
lot.
The media asks him, are you really all in? Yeah. It doesn't look like you're all in. He's trying to say it without actually doing it.
And they lost Tony Pollard, right?
Yeah, he's not coming back. He's in Tennessee, right?
Tennessee.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Omar. Omar, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Omar. Doing well.
Can you gotta play the Farmer and the Dell whistle when I call?
Well, what if we instead of that we play Seltzer's draft? Like you're with the 22nd pick, the Philadelphia. Hold on, with the 22nd pick.
Oh, I had it too.
The Philadelphia too. Eagles selects Omar.
I guess we both cut it.
Yeah, we don't need to hear it twice. But yes. Hello, Omar. Go ahead.
It's actually pretty good.
That sounded kind of
bad. Yeah, I nailed it. Thank you.
Well, but not pretty good. But well, yeah. So the Sixers, I think they. Their game is talent. They use talent. Not that they don't put effort in, but it's more talent-based. I think the Knicks have more heart, no pun intended, and effort and chemistry between them all. They played at Villanova together. They know how each other's games.
Yeah.
And that overcomes, you know, straight talent sometimes.
There's no question. Yeah. Listen, Omar, when you consider some of the Sixers that have shrunk, there's no doubt to this point the Knicks have played with greater ferocity. You know, call it intensity, whatever you want to call it, and effort. And it's not that some Sixers players haven't laid it all out there. I mean, they have. Lowry has. Maxey has. I think Batum has. But, you know, Tobias just doesn't sustain intensity. He just doesn't.
Not at all.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And every championship run, the role players, there's a role player that steps up every game.
They're important. But the most important is the main player, and the Sixers need the main player to be able to sustain for all of his minutes, and if he can't, they're not going to go very far.
You expect him to look different now that he's made this declaration?
No, I don't. I think we'll give him what he can while he can. I think he'll play pretty darn good. I think the Sixers will still win some games in this series, but I think we will. When this whole thing's over, I think we'll look back and say, man, that injury earlier this year wrecked their chances.
I think he'll look different and better, and I think this can lift this team. I know it's a tough – I at winning four games in a row or four out of the next five is asking a lot, but I think we're significantly better than the Knicks are.
Omar, give me an answer here.
If Joel plays the way he's supposed to, we can get this done.
A fight in a movie, Omar. What do you got, pal?
It's like a 10-minute-long fight, and I do think the song makes a big difference in it also. The Kingsman. The fight in the church.
It's a great answer, dude.
Right.
Freebird.
So that was my original answer, actually.
It's a great answer.
That's a very underrated action movie.
Kingsman rocks. I'm
so
with you.
How many of those movies are there?
There's three, I believe, but the first one is way better. The first one's really entertaining.
Yeah.
High recommendation for the first one.
Yeah.
I'm going to abstain as a voter. I don't know any of these movies.
I tried to get through the first Kingsman, and I just didn't care for it. I don't know why.
I loved it. Yeah. I've seen it like four or five times. I really like it.
I'm not voting. You guys figure it out. Let's go to Justin. Justin in Tennessee. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, ladies and fellas? How y'all doing today?
Doing great, Justin.
All right, man. That's a good deal. I was riding down the road. I got to take a load of equipment down to Angelo's most favorite place, the Fleet Hole, Nashville. I knew Rhea would get that. I knew Rhea would.
How are you? Very funny.
Yeah. But I was just been listening, and I'm like, you know, I don't get to call these guys that often. I've got my earpiece in riding down the road. Hope y'all don't mind. Just want to.
We can. By the way, love you, but we can tell you got the earpiece in. It's a little hard to understand you here, my man.
Give me one second here.
Yeah. Let's make the adjustment.
All right, I'm back.
Thank you, sir.
Now.
Yes, go ahead. All right, we'll put Justin on. We'll get him on hold. We'll get back to him. Let's go to Joe in Telford. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Good morning. Hey, got to tell you, love your show. Best show on radio. Thanks for all the entertainment and laughs over the years.
Thank you, sir. And as Tiger Woods would say,
good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, sir.
Nice.
I'd like to get that, Joe, you know, just when possible.
So stealthy.
We know, buddy. We know you like to squeeze that in.
Well, I mean, that's the way he started a press conference announcing an affair. I mean, it's that's what made it so ridiculous. It's like you got the IHOP girl, you got this person, you got that person, you got the stripper, you got all these people to
it
come out of the woodwork.
It wasn't an affair, it was that he was like a sex addict.
Well, there was that.
It was just bizarre.
And he steps forward in front of like 100 reporters, and he goes,
good morning. And thank you for joining me.
Yes, thank you, Tiger. All right, hello, Joe. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
I'm rewatching that documentary with my 15-year-old. We're learning some things together.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, Joel Embiid burying his head. There's just no conviction there, right? I think he wants to win. I think he wants to believe it. But if you really believe you're going to win, you pick your head up, you look at the cameras, and you tell everybody we're going to win. I love the guy.
Joe,
I
agree with you. I agree with you. And I had a real problem with the hanging the head thing. But now I think we're aware that there's more at work with that. You know, like there is an extenuating circumstance that we might not ever get the full
story. You're talking
story.
About the eye?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I thought about that too. But, John, even if the eye is an issue and you still believe you're going to win, don't you look up and say, hey, here's my battle wounds, here's my scars, we're still going to do it?
I would.
And, you know, Joe, even if for just those 5 seconds.
Yeah.
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 You know,
they're out there on the court. We can see that there's something.
Just,
you know,
look like up at them and say, like, we're going to win. You know, like, just, right, I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
And I think if he's healthy, he probably does believe it. And he may pick his head up and say with conviction. I just don't think he's got it. He's just not healthy. It's a shame. I'd love to see him come back and get in shape, though. I mean, he's got to be ready to go. He's got to be ready to go for next year. It's been really tough to hang on with the Sixers team. They're about at my last rope, but he's got to do it. Hey, the consolation is losing to a bunch of Villanova guys that are doing it the right way.
Yeah,
nope. It's not a consolation.
You know?
No, it's not a consolation.
I respect
but they are.
It, but it doesn't do anything for me.
Temple guy's not going to agree.
Oh,
no.
Hey,
right,
I hear you.
Period.
I want to win.
It could be
Let's
three
win,
Temple
but...
guys, and I wouldn't care.
Thank you, James.
That's true.
fair, James.
All right, Joe, give me a great answer for a fight scene in a movie.
I'm going to take you to Zed's. We're going to select the right weapon, and we're going to go to Pulp Fiction.
That's a good answer.
You got it, man. Joe, appreciate that call. All right, let's get some more of Daniel Jeremiah. He was on the John Clark podcast talking about all sorts of stuff as it relates to the Eagles and the draft, which, of course, is tomorrow night. Here's Jeremiah, who, remember, used to work for the Eagles for a period of time. Some intel, a backstory, or back perspective, let's call it, on the Eagles and their preparation for the draft.
The thing that's helped me the most in trying to navigate around, or at least have an educated guess of what these teams are going to do, the best place to call is the school to find out, like talk to the position coaches at the school and then find out, okay, what teams have been doing the most homework on your guys? And I'll just put it this way. The Philadelphia Eagles have done a lot of work on corners. So that's what I'll leave you with that one.
So Jeremiah obviously indicating that's been a big focus for them. Now, he also references that edge rusher is not an impossibility. I will tell you, I'll be somewhere between surprised and shocked if they go first-round edge rusher with the new commitment of money, you know, for a number of years to Bryce Huff, with Nolan Smith, Brandon Graham presumably only one more year, Josh Sweat obviously still only one more year, but could get a new deal and be here for a while. So I'm not saying there's not maybe a need 2 years from now, but maybe there's not. We'll see. Here's Daniel Jeremiah on the possibility of edge rusher, and don't discount that because, you know, he's talking about what happens before the Eagles pick could influence, obviously, where they go.
With this draft, when you look at the quarterbacks going, you look at the needs and the talent at offensive tackle, you're going to see a run on those tackles. All you need now is like a Brock Bowers, you know, to go in there, which is probably going to happen as a tight end. You know, maybe a Graham Barton goes in there for a center needing team. And then all of a sudden you look up and the Philadelphia Eagles are staring at either a Jared Verse, you know, or a Latu from UCLA. So Liatu Latu. So that wouldn't surprise me at all.
John, not surprise him at all. So
I like this. I mean, it goes hand in hand with the idea that six quarterbacks could go earlier than the Eagles pick. The Latu guy coming off the edge, this is like the length, speed, explosiveness combination that you're looking for.
Serious injury history with that guy, though.
True that.
Retired from football for a couple of years.
Oh, that's true. That man, good point, Jimmy.
Do you think that would lead to Josh Sweat being traded? Like, would they trade Josh Sweat if they like?
Verse is from Florida State. Also, it sort of makes me feel down on Verse that Josh Sweat hasn't given us as much as I would have liked, because now I sort of hold it against his college.
Hugh Douglas, Florida State.
No.
Edge rusher.
Well, Hugh Douglas was a tiny school, wasn't he?
Florida.
Central Michigan or Central Ohio?
No, he's a tiny school.
Central Ohio or something.
Wow. Yeah. That's a big miss for the Hammer.
With a huge miss.
That's shocking.
I always thought he was Florida State.
No.
Trey Thomas was Florida State.
So Hugh wasn't that good a high school player? No one really wanted him?
Yes, not
really.
Right?
Yeah, he's a small school. I don't remember exactly what it was. Central Ohio, maybe something like that.
Fair enough. All right. Well, anyway, I'll just put it this way. I'll be really surprised if they take an edge rusher and don't trade somebody. You know they're not trading Huff. You know they're not trading Brandon Graham. So the only two guys you could trade are Nolan.
Edge rusher is not the kind of thing that you feel the need to trade away.
But
like,
I mean,
they are such an important commodity in the league.
But
why do you feel?
Well, why
like
have five? Why have five of them?
Because we rotate lots of edge rushers.
Well, you want to play your best players at that position a lot.
Why, like, I get it. But you're talking about a rookie kid coming in. Like, I'm not willing to just say, hey, before we even see you play in the NFL, we're going to trade one of our edge guys.
All I'm telling you is I don't think they're taking an edge rusher in the first round, and that's one of my reasons.
Look, what he's saying is if everyone else is taking these other positions, it could leave you with the preeminent position available.
John, would you?
The top guys on the edge rusher list could be on the board when the Eagles pick. And if that's the case, would they go there?
Would you trade Josh Sweat for a third rounder? I mean, that's probably what we're talking about, right?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm just saying I don't need five guys.
But they're also unproven. I mean, we have no idea what Nolan Smith is. Bryce Huff, again, we don't even know if he can play the run. Like, they don't have a single edge rusher. I mean, Josh Sweat
that you trust.
Is exactly.
No, I agree.
So it's like, It wouldn't be crazy if they
drafted. It feels to me like they got a lot.
Plus, they always just, it's like O-line edge rusher. Like, that's the way the Eagles build. I don't think it would ever be shocking.
All right, Justin's phone is in a better spot. Hello, Justin.
Sorry about that, y'all. That's unprofessional of me.
No worries, buddy. It's all good.
We're going to dock your pay, Justin.
I hear you. On the draft, that's what I was wanting to talk about, Joe. I think they can go anywhere from corner to defensive tackle to edge rusher. The options are wide open. I really think they are. There's a tackle from Texas, Murphy. I think he – because losing Fletcher Cox, I think, is going to be a bigger issue than people.
Justin, I think Murphy is way more a possibility than people think. It would require a trade-up. But, like, if we're talking about trade-ups for cornerbacks and potentially trade-ups for an offensive tackle, why aren't we talking about a trade-up for the best defensive tackle in the draft?
I think that it's just smoke and mirrors. I think they're just putting stuff out there. We know how this team loves to build in the trenches. They love to build from the inside out. And, I mean, that's just – I think it's smoke and mirrors. I've said all along, you know, I love the kid out of Iowa, Cooper DeJean, but I would much – I mean, I would be tickled to death if they took the dude from Texas, that Murphy kid.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I think he'd be great. But,
well, you could tell listening to Ross earlier today, he thinks he's outstanding. I mean, that was you know, that came through.
He is. And I think you said it before, losing Fletcher is going to be a whole lot bigger issue than what everybody's kind of pushed aside. I know we've still got Milton Williams, Jordan Davis. We have no idea.
Well, and Jalen Carter. Like, the whole thing starts with Jalen Carter. The problem is you need more than one. Matter of fact, you need more than two. And right now I feel like they kind of only have one guy I trust. And Milton Williams is okay. Like, I don't mean that as disrespect. He's okay. But he's also entering the last year of his deal.
Guys, they really like Tua Peloto also. And he's on the team. I know we forget about him
all
the time. He is a solid player. He rotates in there. He gives you a lot of snaps.
Is he my Bo Allen?
he's better than Bo Allen. He's really solid. Right. He's really solid.
Justin, give me an answer for a scene in a fight.
Real quick, I think the Florida State player you were thinking about may have been Corey Simon. I know he
I was legitimately thinking Hugh. I just obviously got confused.
Central State University for Hugh Douglas, by the way.
He should have been better in high school.
I'd never heard of Central State University.
I didn't either.
Best fight scene in a movie for me is Dalton versus Jimmy. Roadhouse, throat rip. I'm going to get off here and let y'all go.
All right,
see y'all later. Love you.
Justin, appreciate it, man. Let's listen to more of Daniel Jeremiah because he also had a prediction for what he thinks the Eagles will do. Now, to be clear, he's asked in the question about best-case scenario for the Eagles. I kind of think, based on the way he answered it, he's just giving you his straight prediction. But maybe this is best-case scenario. Here's Daniel Jeremiah again. This was with John Clark in his podcast.
Best guess as to who the Eagles could come away with or your best-case scenario for this draft?
I'm going to say the Philadelphia Eagles, as we sit and discuss today, they end up getting up to pick number 16. And they make that swap, and they get ahead of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they take Terrion Arnold, corner from Alabama.
John, you would like that a lot.
I love it.
And
I
you think it's worth giving up a second-round pick to do that?
I'm absolutely on board. You know, Quinyon Mitchell is the Toledo cornerback who is sort of, you know, similar in terms of skill.
Yep.
Taken near Terrion Arnold, most likely, in this draft. And Arnold is not like a technique maven, but he's an Alabama cornerback who knows what's expected. He's played zone and man and everything the way it's going to be played in the NFL. He knows what's going to be asked of him, and I love his attitude. He feels to me like a Tyrese Maxey wearing pads, and that's perfect for what we're talking about here. A guy who's constantly upbeat and positive and trying to bring everyone else along with him, make everyone around him better. I love Terrion Arnold.
All right, all the calls and all these topics, plus time's yours in about 20 minutes. That and plus, if you missed it earlier, what Tyrese Maxey said last night about the end of the game call, how Maxey handled it publicly when talking on TNT. We'll get to that audio as well on 94 WIP. Hey, the road to the NBA playoffs, well, it's upon us. The road to the finals is up ahead here, and it's on. With new customers, with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, you can go on your own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets whether you win or lose that first bet during the NBA playoffs. So many ways you can bet, including tomorrow's Game 3, Philadelphia, New York, all the other games going on tonight, all the games going on throughout all these weeks, 2 months of playoff action. Lock in at FanDuel.com/hammer. Think about the deal and how great it is. You place a $5 bet, and whether you win or lose the bet, you get $150 in bonus bets to play with. That's amazing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, this is the Kingsman scene. Is this song playing when they're in the Kingsman scene?
Well done, sir. Look, I'm finally starting to get excited for the draft. It's only taken, I don't know, like 6 weeks or something, but I feel like today, for a draft that, you know, let's be real, it's been a little tough to talk. It's finally gotten kind of interesting. Coincides tomorrow night with a Sixers game 3. Now, the good news is, you know, the Sixers game should be over before the Eagles pick, even if the Eagles move up a little bit. But at a certain point, it could get tight and hairy. You know, if the Eagles move up, you know, 7 picks, I mean, I guess that could be right when the Sixers game is about to end.
Didn't something similar play out in, when was the A.J. Brown trade?
2021
draft?
Two.
No, two was two.
It was the Sixers playoff clincher.
And they won.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won. And I think the game like went final as the A.J. Brown trade went down. So maybe it's a good omen.
I think, yeah, it was Toronto like game 2 or 3, one of those things.
Yeah, it ended well for both parties.
That is right. And Ike had an all-time reaction when the Eagles got A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. His reaction to the draft party was just tremendous on the air. All right, let's listen to, speaking of reaction, Tyrese Maxey's reaction to the end. Matter of fact, let's just start with Stephen A. Smith. I got to hear this one more time. Stephen A., who's a Knicks fan, kept it real, and I appreciate this. Here's Stephen A. on the end of the debacle at Game 2.
I think that the Sixers were robbed, and I'm a Knicks fan. We know this.
Yeah.
Fair is fair. And here's what I'm saying. Tyrese Maxey was fouled.
Yeah.
I mean, you see me sitting courtside. I mean, it's what is it, 3 feet, Tim, to my left? I mean, yeah. He got slapped at least 2 to 3 times.
And the NBA, by the way, has admitted it with their last 2-minute report that they came out with yesterday. So Maxey was asked about that report and about the moment within the game at the end of game 2 with Ernie Johnson and the TNT crew last night. Here's what he said.
So that comes out, but on the day after, what does that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be strong. I gotta be strong with the ball. I gotta be able to, like, when I get on the floor, I gotta be able to hug it and call a timeout. But I mean, it is what it is. Like, it happened. We gotta let it go. I mean, we can't dwell on it now. If we dwell on it, then, you know, in a couple days, we'll be down 0-3. We don't want to be down 0-3. You know what I mean? We know that we can still win this series. We got to go out there and prove that to everybody, not just ourselves. And it starts today, letting that go. And then tomorrow at practice, and then as soon as the ball goes up on Thursday, being a tougher team, not just physically, but mentally as well. I mean, we still had a chance to win the game. I got my layup blocked, and then, you know, we missed a three at the end to tie. So we can't dwell on that. We can't leave the games in other people's hands. We got to go out there and take it.
I appreciate a lot of parts of his answers. Yeah.
I like that he focused on the word tougher. We need to be a tougher team, not just physically,
Bingo.
But mentally.
That was great, Sean.
Yeah.
It was. Look, can they still win this? Yeah, they can. Will they? I would tend to think probably not, but, you know, they got a shot. John, I got the Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet in front of me here. Armin, your Corvette headquarters. Visit ArminChevy.com to see Armin's selection of new and pre-owned Corvettes. Together, let's drive. So the poll question, who wins the series, Sixers or the Knicks? Where do you think people voted on this one, John?
Man, I get the feeling not a lot of people feel like I do on this one. I'm going to say 37% believe that the Sixers.
It's a good guess.
It's a good guess.
It's 34%. All right, anyone else here going with the Sixers over the Knicks, other than John?
I mean, I picked the Knicks before this series.
Right, Devin, so. Where are you?
I'll go with the Sixers.
You believe it?
Yeah, are you just doing
it? What was that?
What was that?
What was that? I'm throwing a piece of paper at that. That was the weakest answer.
Joe actually just threw a piece of paper.
As half-hearted and
Give me some conviction. That's like Embiid.
I'll go.
Series while he's got his head down.
Okay, are you done? Are you done? May I speak?
Yes.
So right after game two, I still could just the way it all went down. I mean, the Sixers had improved on a lot of the things that they needed to improve on from the first game against the Knicks.
True.
It just didn't play out in their favor clearly at the end in that final 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I weirdly feel okay. And I actually like Embiid's comments after the game. I wish his head was up and he was, you know, looking at the reporters and the cameras. But either way, like, we want him to be a leader. I think he's hungry for it, especially after everything that went down in game two. I think they'll at least definitely win this next game coming up in Philly. I think they can do it. I don't know. I think they're the better overall team.
All right, look, everyone's reaction on all this, including, you know, the draft tomorrow, the Sixers tomorrow, the whole thing. Let's go to the phones, talk to Mario right now. Good morning, Mario.
Good morning. I'd like to talk a little bit about the draft. Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
It's probably not going to stay where he is, Howie. He's probably, everything I'm reading and hearing, he's going to move up. I'm not going to say that's a mistake, but me personally, I would like to see him move back a little bit and try to pick up that third round pick that they lost in the Kenny Pickett trade. And
well, I didn't know that was a third rounder for Pickett.
I believe so.
I thought it was a fourth. I know they don't have a third rounder for sure, but I don't remember if that's the Pickett trade or not.
That was the Pickett trade. I could be wrong, but that was the Pickett trade, and they don't have a third round pick. That being said,
a fourth
even
for
if
Pickett.
They stay, even if they stay where they are,
swap.
or move back a little bit in the first round, they're going to have a minimum of 12 to 15 players to choose from. There's a lot of talent there. And, Joe, you stole my thunder a little bit earlier about the second-round picks. They're valuable picks.
They are.
Howie has done a real good job in the second round. And they got two of them. I would absolutely not touch any of them and just, you know, take it as is, really, and keep those picks. I don't want to give up any of them because everybody knows how expensive and how valuable it is to move up in the NFL draft. It costs a lot. And the reason it costs a lot is because those draft picks are very valuable.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know? Mario, fantastic call. Give me an answer here for a fight scene in a movie. What do you think is the best of all time?
I got two. I'll give you one. How about my man Arnold and Predator?
Which scene? There's only about 5,000 scenes in that movie that involve a fight. So
the one towards the end over there, where the predator
when he's hiding
is
in the
where
he's camouflaged.
He's camouflaged, yeah.
Camouflage, yeah.
All right, Richie's face is lit up upon that answer.
I mean, really, the last 30 minutes of the movie is just like one long chase fight scene. Really.
It is a fight. The
unbelievable
movie is a fight where the alien is camouflaged.
I love it. All right, look who's on the line. Of course, NFL draft coming up tomorrow night. Bill Warndell, part of the crew, years ago that created Our Lads. He's been all over draft coverage for many years. Obviously, great friend of Merrill's in the booth with Merrill and Mike every Eagles game. Good morning, Bill.
So the camera, John, Richie, James, Seltzer, and my favorite person, the young lady that works with you guys.
Well, she doesn't work us. She works with us. But yes. Yeah.
I basically work for them.
No, Devin does not work for us. Devin works with us.
So you're saying Rhea works for you?
I think that's what the implication was, but my point is I deny that implication. Hello, Bill.
I am doing great, guys.
Good, buddy.
Before we get to the draft, I have something to say.
Yes.
They honor a broadcaster or somebody with significance in the broadcast fraternity. Last year it was Fred Godelli at the Hall of Fame received the Pete Rozelle Award. I think it's long overdue that our own Merle Reese should get that award in the next couple of years, because 48 years and counting, and I don't see him slowing down.
No, I agree, and that's great you're advocating for that, and I will second that advocation, Bill. All right, so, Bill, you've been all over the draft for years. From an Eagles standpoint at pick 22, what do you think they should do?
Well, I think you have to take the best player available. I know that's a stale line, but I think at 22, the best player available. Now, there's a lot of rumors about the Eagles moving up to 16 with Seattle. Seattle wants a retreat. But I think the best player available, if they can get an offensive lineman or a corner at that position, I think it would be a win-win-win for the Eagles. Another position that's really being overlooked. Now, I'm not going to take a defensive tackle or a nose tackle in the first round. But if you look at the depth of the defensive nose tackles on the Eagles or the defensive linemen, it is very, very shallow. So they've got to address that, because Jordan Davis is not going to be able to play 50 snaps a game.
You've got
to give him a blow, and you got to get a load in the middle.
Now, I will say that could, John, that could be a second or third rounder. Like a couple years ago, Benny Logan, he gave him 4 years. You know, it could be one of those types.
Yeah, and again, we constantly overlook Marlon Tuipulotu. We brought in this P.J. Mustafa guy this offseason. He is a nose tackle. They've also got Noah Ellis on the roster from college. He came here as a college free agent in 2022.
Yep.
Another nose tackle. They're loading up with these guys, and they're going to see who can show in camp. See if anyone can make a name for themselves.
Hey, Bill, let me ask you a quick question. So pushing aside just for one moment this current draft, the concept years ago that you and some friends came together with Our Lads, which really set the template for all sorts of other outlets to come up with their own publication or mock drafts. I mean, that had to be quite a moment in history. I mean, this draft thing has become a big thing, and you were a major trendsetter in it.
Well, here's what happened. I went to the draft from 1973 to 82, Jim Gallagher, the late PR guy, said, we need a guy to hand in the car. So my first draft was 1973, Jerry Sizemore, Charlie Young. Jerry number three, Charlie number five. Then there were years when they traded away all their draft picks. I sat there and just looked around the room and saying, wow, maybe the Eagles. In 1979, they drafted a linebacker in the first round by the name of Jerry Robinson. Then Tom Hepler, who was the guy that started Our Lads, we started with 44 subscribers in 1983.
Wow.
They have over 10,000 subscribers today.
Good for you, man.
I love Our Lads.
Yeah.
I constantly, I depend on Our Lads.
Tremendous publication. It really is. All right, Bill, final thing here. If they stick at 22, who is a reasonable get at 22 that you think Eagles fans – would come to like a lot, that he would give the Eagles a good career? Again, you can't say someone that's going to be one at 12. If they're at 22, who should they get?
If J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle from Alabama, would be a good pick there. Tyler Guyton, the big offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Maybe a Nate Wiggins. I don't know about corners. Remember, if you look at their roster, they've got 12 corners now that Isaiah Rogers has been reinstated.
That's right.
So they got 12 corners right now. So I might pick a corner later. I'm going to give you a name of a corner that I really like. He's 6'4", 195 pounds, out of Oregon, Tyreek Jackson. I watched him during the season, watched him at the Senior Bowl. He was lights out, to say the least.
All right, Bill. Love it. Love you, Bill. Always good seeing you and talking to you. Thanks for calling in today, Bill. Love it, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there he is, Bill Warndell. All right, let's do what we do every single day at this time. All right, Time's Yours brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Discover the nation's best-kept secret and switch to Xfinity Mobile. Now at the best price for two lines of unlimited. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
So this is my thoughts on Embiid saying they're going to come back and win this. Wah, 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 wah. Charlie Brown teacher talk. I mean, this dude's never showed up in the playoffs. 0-2, you're going to come back. Let your play do the talking.
Well, that is the one thing. It's like, man, they've had so many cracks at it. He goes at it now. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, on one hand, I'm kind of enamored, but on the other hand, it's like, dude, go do something in the playoff that's meaningful before these kind of declarations.
Look, the order of things is a little bit mixed up. I appreciate that he's willing to go there, and I think he's going to go out there and dominate.
Okay, I will say this, James. Jimmy Rollins, 07, we're the team to beat. The Phillies had not done anything up until that point.
Well, that's the point, though.
And J-Roll backed it up.
They had no chances. No. Yeah.
Well, then, no, they had a chance. 04, 05, 06, 07.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
But you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, it can happen.
They've been trying to knock on the door of the playoffs and kept falling short. Not totally dissimilar of a team that makes the playoffs but loses early.
Sure.
Look, we'll see.
For the draft, I really don't think there's a bad pick that would make me upset unless it's a quarterback or running back. Every other position on the team, I could see them and why they want to take them. Now, if they trade up for a specific person, that'll get me very excited.
Well, hold on. Au contraire. First off, what if they draft someone from North Dakota State? You'll be upset. Second off, what if they draft the next Jalen Reagor? You'll be upset. So, wait, I got a blanket statement here from caller guy saying that nothing can make me upset but those two positions? Nah. Not sure.
I've got
a lot
the
of
answer.
Faith in, really, the,
too
the
much
front
faith.
Office.
Too much faith.
I've got the answer to the Sixers' problem. Get a new owner. You know, somebody like Jeff Lurie when he took over for Norman Golfbag Brennan. This guy's a carpetbagger. I hate him.
Well, I'm not a fan either. I'm not a fan of Josh Harris.
Can we please stop relating Joel Embiid to the flu game? Can we please just stop talking about the flu game in reference to an actual physical injury? He's on one leg. He doesn't have diarrhea. Because of pizza, get over it.
I think the guy's conflating
issues.
Yeah,
I think he got confused.
People
were
talking about Max.
Yeah.
So,
not Embiid.
So, my man, let me just, if you're going to assess people's assessments,
get some facts and come back and see me.
And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, I need a ruling here. The more famous diarrhea scene in basketball history. Is it Paul Pierce in the 08 finals when there was a diarrhea incident on the court and he stayed down on the floor and acted like he was dead and his knee had blown up and they had to wheelchair him off the floor? And then he came back like his freaking Willis Reed and helped him win game one. All right, is it that? Which was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Or Bobby Hurley in the championship game in 1990 against UNLV.
Rough, man.
Running on and off and on and off and on and off the court.
And then to be just totally sold out by your coach.
Oh, man.
After the fact. When
that
explaining was, why you were on and off.
That was
and
incredible.
On and
off. All right, let's go to Tom in Middletown. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Tom.
Nothing like some good diarrhea talk, Tom.
it's what we love.
When you're sliding into first and you're feeling something burst, Tom.
I got nausea, something, indigestion, something else.
Diarrhea.
That commercial is tremendous.
I love it. The Pepto-Bismol is
there's
so
there's choreography
good.
Now.
It's a great commercial.
All right, hello, Tom.
Okay. Hey, what a difference today makes, Joe. If the Sixers could rebound as well as you did today, we'll be okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, I am, after all,
the Hammer!
And we'll see if Joel's got the fortitude that the Hammer has.
Oh. All right, real quick, Sixers point here. I think what's killing us is our bench. Is it unrealistic for me to expect at least 15 points from the bench?
No,
not at all.
Okay. Well, game one, we had 7 points. Game two, 10 points.
Man.
You bring them up to 15 points, we win both those games.
True. I will say this one thing, though, Tom. While I also have my eye on the bench, I have my eye more on Kelly Oubre and Tobias Harris.
You bet. In the playoffs, the bench shrinks. You know, you need seven or eight guys in the playoffs, and that's it.
Tom, I heard a national guy yesterday, and he probably doesn't maybe watch a ton of Sixers, would be my guess. I heard him refer to Kelly Oubre as not a good offensive player. Like, that's not true. Like, Kelly Oubre is a skilled, very talented offensive player. Now, listen, I know he's expending a lot of energy on the defensive end, and I appreciate that. I think he's playing good defense. But, like, this team requires him to score at least 15 points. I want to get some 20s, and I want the occasional 25 because it's in his game. He has that as part of his repertoire. Go do it. I mean, I cannot get single digits from Kelly Oubre. That's not acceptable. I mean, think of it this way, Tom. He won the poll. We did a poll last week. Who's the Sixers' third best player? He won the poll going away. He had like 70% of the vote. So, dude, let's go. It's time to play ball, man. And yeah, by the way, if you don't, this is why you're going to get another veteran minimum next year. Like, Kelly Oubre should be making $10 million a year in the NBA. No one ever gave it to him. Why? Maybe because of these kind of things. It's time for him to step the hell up. Tom, give me an answer. Give me a great fight scene in a movie we're going to turn to. We're going to move fast.
Okay, I'm going to go to the movie Raging Bull. The scene is the final fight between Jake LaMotta and Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
Where Jake is, his knees are buckling, he's getting killed, blood and sweat are spilling everywhere, and he's holding onto the rope, refusing to go down. And at the end of the scene, they go right in onto the rope, and they see the blood dripping.
Unbelievable, and obviously from a true story. Tom, appreciate that. We're moving fast. Best fight scene of all time. Jeremy, give me the scene. Give me the fight.
Happy Gilmore and Bob Barker.
Ooh.
Yo, great answer.
Pretty good. Pretty good answer. Let's get one more. David in Wilmington. David, the best fight scene ever.
I'm going to have to go with The Matrix. Neo fighting all the Smiths.
Well, that's a good one, too.
That's
Matrix
right.
2. Yeah.
You got it.
Awesome.
We got to come up with a winning answer. What are we going with here?
I love The Matrix, guys.
That's great. That's a good answer. He said Matrix. It's Matrix 2. I don't know if we ding for that
or not. Different
but...
than what Seltzer was saying, just to be clear.
Oh, very different. Yes.
Yeah.
Different movie.
All right, so we got Kill Bill. We got The Bronx Tale. We got Bob Barker in Sandler.
I love that, too.
I love the Bob Barker
answer.
Sandler.
It's not enough of a fight scene, though. It's not long enough for my liking. I mean, it's what's that, probably 10 to 15 seconds? They roll around a couple times.
Well, it's like a line. Like to get
no, but they
line.
Roll around a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, they argue, and then they roll around
I need
a bit.
More. I need more. Like, I would go with the Bronx Tale for sure over Bob Barker. You guys tell me that you've seen all these movies, Seltzer. I haven't.
So what are the? Give me the best ones again.
I mean, you got the Kingman. You got
Kingsman's good.
Kingsman is
whatever.
Awesome.
You got Pulp Fiction. Though. You got Kill Bill 2. You got Kill Bill 1. You got Rocky 4 against Drago. What are we doing here?
I mean, just pure fight scene. The Matrix 2 scene is probably the best.
The one
Mr.
the guy
Smith.
Just said.
I mean, that scene's amazing. Yeah.
The scene that should have been said was Mayo versus Richard Gere versus Lou Gossett Jr. Officer and gentleman. Not
Richie, what do you think? You think Matrix?
I think Matrix.
Yeah, I do
Matrix
too.
Changed the way I view fights.
Devin, does that work?
Sure. It's iconic. Why not?
I didn't know if this is another throwaway line.
Totally. She's like, just do whatever you want.
Sure.
All right. Congratulations to whoever the heck. Who said that, the last caller?
Yeah, you're the one who writes them down, Joe.
There's too many for me to track.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.